Happy New Year! I'm Sue Rose Minahan, and I'd love for you to join me Sunday, January 4 at 1 p.m. for Talk Cosmos featuring Louise Eddington, the Cosmic Owl, who joins me and Dr. Laura Tad to explore the Capricorn Venus star point. Find out how this pivotal cosmic point connecting Venus with the Sun functions as Earth's celestial heartbeat for humanity, both individually and collectively. Come journey with us on Talk Cosmos Sunday, January 4, 1 p.m. Pacific, here on KKNW.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk. Welcome to the third hour of our Happy New Year edition and Epiphany Sunday here on Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the fastest way to pull up the stream, go directly to the 1150kknw.com website, click on Listen Upper Left, and then Listen Online, and you'll be all set up to stream the show. And thank you, Nathan, for that Epiphany Sunday
celebration. Well, thank you, Jingle Cats.
You know, a little more sophisticated for the Jingle Cats, you know, kind of their crazy Christmas Carol stuff. So that was a serious version of We Three Kings. So thank you for the Jingle Cats and Nathan. And if you are celebrating, a happy Epiphany Sunday. All righty then. We're back to Shelter Rescue Sanctuary. Anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. And, you know, I think helping our animals more than anybody else. I don't think these people sleep. Anyway, from animals24-7.org, Merritt and Beth Clifton are with us. Good morning, you guys. Welcome back to Animal World.
Morning, Martha.
Good morning.
So I think I was telling you when you tuned in here that Nathan and I are living in two different universes, and you can see, because you're zooming in with us too, that he's got bright blue sky down there in Factoria. I've got gray sky. Well, okay, I have a little bit of blue sky. My trees are still raining, and my roof's still raining, but a little bit of blue sky. So over on Whidbey Island, where are you guys? What do you got going on?
Pouring rain.
Really? Wow.
That's almost a little bit hard to believe, but I guess I got to look a little bit further north, because looking northwest from here, it looks like it's not too bad up there.
Well, but Whidbey's north of where you are.
Right.
So
you can see Camano Island, which is just 3 miles across the strait. We're socked in by heavy fog.
Wow. Wow. All right. Well, now that it is 2026, how'd you guys do over the holidays? Did you have a nice Christmas and New Year's? And I know I heard a lot about, you know, there were a lot of storms going on. Had to share with Nathan that I had started a White Christmas the day after Christmas and had 3 inches of snow on the ground for a week. Huh. How did you guys fare? I thought there were a lot of power outages on Whidbey. So how did you fare with all of that?
Well, we didn't have much trouble. We didn't get any snow either. There was snow south of Green Bank, but we didn't even get a wisp.
We also had part of a tree fall on our roof.
Uh-oh.
Well, that was a mess to clean up.
Yeah, just a mess. Luckily, it didn't do much damage.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, glad to hear that. And Henry Rooster and Arabella, how have they are making it through the winter so far?
Oh, yeah, they're doing great as always.
Because they have their new cat or chicken condo that you guys built for them.
Yeah.
I've been trying to honor Rooster and Henry. I think you saw it, Beth, because I found a great video of a rooster crowing Merry Christmas. And so I posted that on Facebook, and I think that you saw that. But just when I do rooster stuff, it's always for Henry. Now, it is are they? Has Henry remained friendly with you, Beth? He was really bonded with you for a while, and so forth. And
he's only interested in Arabella, and that's
what I wondered. Since you got him a wife.
Yeah,
he's just into being a rooster.
It's going
now.
On about 2 years now.
And so how about little Teddy? Teddy's your dog. How's Teddy doing?
Teddy's doing great.
He's actually right here. You can't see him on the screen, but he's
close. All right, hi Teddy.
Bye.
All right. Well, okay then. So, we got anything interesting going on in the animal world anywhere we need to talk about?
I think the most interesting thing, really, in the last month, have been the deaths of three really major figures in the history of animal protection. Ian Douglas Hamilton, who's the guy, he's the reason we know anything at all about the emotional lives of elephants and elephants in the wild. He was the first to study wild elephant behavior.
Did he write that book? Because there was a book, The Emotional Lives of Elephants.
I don't know if he was the one that wrote it, but he definitely contributed information to it, quite a few scientific papers. And then Bridget Bardot, of course, everybody's heard of. And I think mostly heard some pretty misleading things about her. And then Marion Probst, who was totally behind the scenes, but while Cleveland Amory was the front man, Marion was really the brains of the gang behind the Fund for Animals and all the things they did for many years. Interestingly enough, she was almost exactly the same age as Bridget Bardot, but they were totally, totally opposite personalities. Marion was so much behind the scenes that almost nobody knew her name, let alone know her. Fortunately, I did know her a bit. Bridget Bardot was so totally out front and the paparazzi always surrounding her that she hardly ever seemed to do anything that wasn't intensively covered. But where I think that she has been greatly misread over the years.
Well, and I'm just going to shortly interrupt you because you're reminding me of something I read recently, and it may have been what you've posted about this, but I remember someone saying, you know, I always thought Bridget Bardot was really wonderful. Now I've learned stuff and I don't follow her anymore. So I did that. So what's up with that?
Well, she was the kind of person who would pop off and say immediately, very impulsively, whatever was on her mind. She always was like that. And she didn't mince words. And she said a lot of things specifically about halal slaughter, the Islamic slaughter, which does not involve pre-stunning and in connection with two major feasts each year, is done right out in public. And along with a lot of other people, she thought that the way this was done was cruel, and she said a lot about it, which she was actually convicted by French courts five times of saying things that were allegedly inciting racism. Now, the flip side of that is they were all things that were specifically directed at halal slaughter. they were not directed at Islamic people in general. And the thing that a lot of people don't know, and it's amazing they don't know it because so much of what she did was so closely scrutinized, she put more money, her own money, that she had received herself in royalties for films and so forth, and earned in speaking appearances. She put more of her own money into spay, neuter, and vaccination work in the Islamic world than anyone else.
Wow.
And she was so well respected for that, that when the United States left Afghanistan, the Bridget Bardot Foundation and the Mayhew Home for Animals in England had a project going to spay and neuter and vaccinate the dogs of Kabul, Afghanistan. And she was specifically invited to continue her work there, even after almost all other Westerners and Western organizations were booted out. Uh-huh. They only just this last year completed a five-year turnover of that project to the Kabul University. So they're no longer having Bridget Bardot Foundation people actually managing the program, but they are all people that were trained by the Bridget Bardot Foundation. So this is where I think she gets a bum rap. People are listening to what she said, getting it out of context, and not really looking at what she did, not only there, but in Egypt, in Lebanon. She was a longtime supporter of two different organizations in Lebanon that did all kinds of animal rescue and spay, neuter, and vaccination. She supported a project after the revolution in Egypt that toppled Hosni Mubarak, and tourism slowed down. The camels and horses at the pyramids that used to take tourists there no longer had tourists. The owners no longer had income. Those animals were starving, and the Bridget Bardot Foundation, which was really just Bridget Bardot and some of her staff, stepped in to feed those animals.
Wow.
So she did all these kinds of things in the Islamic world, and people didn't see that, but they did see things that she said in a fit of pique, temperamentally. And because of her strong political, she had two strong political alliances in her lifetime. During the first half of her career, when she was a film actress, she was very closely associated with the French left. And later... Huh. When she married Bernard Dormand and was associated with the French right, the French left saw that as a real betrayal. And so the left media really went after anything she said or did, put the spotlight on it. But it wasn't like she had a whole lot of leverage within the French right. She was simply married to a man who largely sacrificed his own political career to be with her. Bernard Dormand did not politically advance after marrying Bridget Bardot. He stayed wow. where he was as a confidant and advisor, but he wasn't elected to political office.
I have a much more simplistic view.
Yeah, and what is that?
I think she was just more of an animal person than a people person. Animals uh-huh. betray her, people did.
Well, there's definitely truth in that.
Yeah, yeah.
I did not know her personally, but I knew people who worked for her, and she was apparently pretty easy to work for. The version I got was she would come into the office once a day and spend most of the day dictating correspondence, because she wrote thousands and thousands of letters of protest, letters to the editor of newspapers, etc. She would dictate those, then she would stay there till they were all typed up, then she would sign them. Then she would go home. But contrary to her public image, the people that worked with her told me she didn't yell at them. You know, if something needed fixing or correcting, she would point it out and they would do it. But they liked working for her. Again, she had this image as being a real martinet, a difficult person to deal with. And I think that was probably true if you were somebody that, like if you were in the media, somebody she didn't particularly trust, but she trusted her people, her own employees. She had about 30 of them at peak, 30 employees.
Wow. That's amazing. And I don't know if the rest of you, if you're thinking, I'm just wondering, where does all this information come from? I'm just blown away. I mean, you're like, Merritt, a walking, I was going to say encyclopedia, but I think maybe you're a walking Wikipedia. Now, I mean, because you just know everything. My goodness. I'm very impressed. And I'm so glad you shared that, because I was really wondering, when what I was reading, there was so much mixed stuff, and I don't know all the history that you do. But it does, I kind of tend to think, Beth, you're probably right, you know, a real animal person, not a people person. That was one of my issues when I was very young. I trusted the animals and all of that. I didn't trust people, and I didn't feel comfortable around people. I had to learn to love people. But the animals were first. But I don't know. I think it's awfully hard for people to work in a supportive position like this, and working with, and, you know, animals and suffering and cruelty and all of that. You can get jaded, and sometimes it's very frustrating. And I can, if she's like me, probably mouthing off about stuff, which that's something I would do. Say, whoopsie, I probably shouldn't say that. So, but anyway, also, I'm just really glad to know.
I didn't know Bridget Bardot, but from the research that we did, it seemed like she really never had much control of her own life from a very young child.
Huh.
My feeling was she had a show mom, and I think her life was just very controlled, and she didn't have control of her own life.
Wow.
I think as she got older, she resented it.
Huh.
And she did break free of all the managers and the husbands and all the rest of that. I would also mention that her love of animals and her work for animals didn't just begin at the end of her film career, as a lot of people tend to believe. She was out front doing dog rescue, denouncing the seal hunt way before anybody else was in the mid-1950s.
Wow, yeah, that is way early.
Some of her friends connected in the film business, connected with a filmmaker named Harry Lilly, who was the first to film the Canadian seal hunt out on the ice in 1955. This was 3 years later, in 1958, that Bridget Bardot became aware of it. And that was almost 10 years before Brian Davies and Paul Watson and the other people that are known for opposing the seal hunt. She was opposing it that early while she was still a star. She retired from the film industry in 1973 at the age of 38, but she had already been speaking out for animals for at least 8 years before that, and doing dog rescue for even longer.
Wow. Wow. Good to know. Good to know. And interesting that there's so many passings all at the same time here with the same sort of theme, but the ending of a year and going into the new year, that is sometimes a time when people leave the planet. Would you say there was more besides that we've already talked about?
Well, I didn't say very much about Marion Probst, and that's kind of the way that Marion would have wanted it. But she was so much the brains of the gang behind Cleveland Amory that if you didn't actually know them both, which I did,
it's hard to imagine.
Cleveland had written these books about Boston society and so forth. He was a best-selling author and commentator and all the rest of that. And he was always sympathetic to animals because he was a co-founder of the Humane Society of the U.S. back in 1954. But he wasn't really focused on that. And his books about cats, he had never had a cat before. The Cat Who Came to Christmas and the two sequels to that.
Yeah, yeah.
That was Marion. Marion was behind the scenes for all that. And Cleveland did credit her with that, but she would never step forward to take the credit. But Cleveland also, he told me in person that the fund for animals was all her idea, and he was busy with his parade column and all the rest of that, and he told her, fine, you start it, I'll be the figurehead, but you run it. And that's exactly what happened. Cleveland did get a bit more involved than just being a figurehead, but it was always Marion who did all the fundraising and the bookkeeping, arranged the schedule for his appearances. And every campaign they took on, like the burro rescue from the Grand Canyon, that was all Marion. It was founding the Beauty Ranch. That was all Marion. There is one other witness to this who will tell you the same thing, Wayne Pacelli, who now heads Animal Wellness Action. He was her protege. Because
he was the United States Humane Society, right?
He headed the Humane Society of the United States for 15 years, but he was the national director for the Fund for Animals before that.
Okay.
And he's been heading the Center for the Humane Economy and Animal Wellness Action ever since. I've known the guy since he was 19 years old. But anyway, he would tell you, and he did tell us exactly the same thing about Marion Probst, that she was, even though nobody knew her name, she never even posed for a photograph. She was the brains of the gang there. And later, after Cleveland died, it was merged into the Fund for Animals through Marion's work with Wayne.
Well, some very wonderful animal lovers and rescuers, supporters, all that sort of thing, and did great work here. And I'm sorry that they've moved on. Anyway, Nathan's getting a little antsy over there, so we need to take care of advertisers. So let us do that, and then we will continue with Merritt and Beth. We have a little extra time this week. So stay right where you are. We'll find out more about what's going on in the animal world straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
There is a horizontal world, and there is a vertical world. Living horizontally, our concerns are based in fear and survival. But then we hear a call to live vertically, to connect to our wholeness. Linda Rasmussen, with Vertical Energy, uses a process that helps you balance higher consciousness through your body. When you live vertically, you reap the benefits of health, peace, and clarity. For a free introductory session, call 206-841-1992.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Easy on the ears, good for the soul. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are midway through the last hour of this, our first New Year's edition of Animal World. And let's see, we heard from Linda Rasmussen, and verticalenergyworldwide.com is her website, and you can check her out there. She will be in the studio next week, and we will be working on animals through you. So we will be experimenting with new techniques next week. So I hope you will join us and plan to call in for free remote treatments for you and your animal friends. And Linda has an office in the Interspace facility, the old Rainier Brewery, and you can see her there, or she can work with you remotely. And she continues to offer a free session to any of you that call or text her at the number I'm going to give you. And if she's worked with you on the air before, she says that doesn't count. So this is for new clients in person or remotely, but you are not disqualified if she's worked with you on the air. So if you would like a free treatment with Linda in person or remotely, just call or text her at 206-841-1992. 206-841-1992. And in Remember Me, Aunt Martha, animal behavior therapist and dog trainer, and looking to shake out some business. So you know anybody that has problems with their dogs, I'll always talk to them for free on the phone. And I come in and usually only have to see you once to get things under control and so that you have a well-behaved dog friend for the rest of their lives. So write down my number, pass it out to anybody who can use some help with their dogs, and I'll always talk to them for free on the phone. My number's 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. All righty then. So we are in the middle of a discussion with Merritt and Beth Clifton, the brains behind animals24-7.org. Whereas I think, Merritt, you're more the statistical compiler and the writer and all of that. And Beth is like the artist that puts together all the wonderful collages and the pictures and stuff. Anyway, you guys are a great team. And yeah, it's real important, folks, for you to go to the animals24-7.org website, contribute to the cause, and sign up for the newsletter. Then you'll get all the great news about the animals going on. And there's always something going on. But besides the passings and all of that, anything else currently?
Well, there's actually one other passing I'd like to mention.
Oh, that's right. There was three, right.
Well, we'd mentioned Ian Douglas Hamilton, too, the elephant guy, but I wanted to mention Marshall Thompson, who with his wife, Susan Tellum, founded American Tortoise Rescue back in 1990.
American Tortoise Rescue. How cool.
This was the first, and still is, the biggest hotline for information on how to properly care for turtles and tortoises.
Wow.
Both in domestication and in the wild, I should say, being kept in captivity, and rescuing turtles and tortoises whose owners had passed on, and you know, finding new good homes for them. So Marshall very recently died of basically of complications of Alzheimer's. Susan is having to relocate the American Tortoise Rescue headquarters from Malibu, where they had actually been in a fire zone three times in the last, I think it was about 10 years. But American Tortoise Rescue is the major sponsor of World Turtle Day, which is now celebrated all around the world by thousands of organizations, classrooms, kids do stuff to promote awareness of turtles, education about turtles, all this stuff. And I had the good fortune to know Susan Tellum and Marshall Thompson personally, and they were just both very good, warm, down-to-earth people, even though Marshall in his own right was a star as a cinematographer, working for a lot of the major film companies in the Hollywood area. And Susan had a high-powered ad agent. She's now retired from that. But on the one hand, they were very much part of the Hollywood world. And on the other hand, you would never know it from meeting them and talking turtles with them.
Wow. Wow, amazing. Amazing.
Why it's important, the information is important. I had a friend call years ago that found a tortoise and wanted to release him into the water.
Well, tortoises don't do water, do they?
You don't put it. Tortoises, if you have a tortoise, you may want to soak the tortoise for parasites. But you don't want to put a gopher. This is from Florida. You don't put a gopher tortoise into the water because they're not water turtles.
Yeah, because there's some turtles that live in the water, and there's some turtles that live on the land.
Right.
And generally, at least from my limited, because I'm certainly not a turtle expert, although when you were talking about them, I did have turtles. As a kid, you know, I had the little red sliders turtles. But that's kind of the extent of my education with turtles. But I do know that there are some that live in the water, and that tortoises generally, I think of them being land animals, not living in pools or ponds.
Right. And one of the questions my friend asked me was, should I put them in the water?
They have different dietary requirements, too. A lot of turtles and tortoises that people are trying to rescue suffer because they try to feed them the wrong things. They don't recognize the difference between a turtle that eats mainly seagrass and a turtle who eats things that live on land, eats lettuce, carrots, grass. So Susan and Marshall tried to educate people about that. And of course, people would call them up and they say they have a such and such, and they won't know what it is until they play 20 questions and identify the specific species, where it came from, and what it needs. But they were good at that.
Well, and I hadn't even thought about there being a turtle or a tortoise rescue, but aren't they kind of like parrots, and they like live forever? I mean, they like live really long lives, don't they?
Yes, they do. A tortoise recently died who Charles Darwin had known. In fact, Charles Darwin kept this one for quite a while. The tortoise was known to be at least 160 years old.
Wow.
And there are a number of very old photographs showing the tortoise and generations of people that took care of that tortoise. What they call the Indian Ocean giants and the giant Galapagos tortoises seem to be the longest lived. And they get to be huge, whereas the ones we have in North America tend to be small. And I might mention also that all of the box turtles that are the most common turtles in most of North America are all, if they're not on the endangered species list, they should be. Many of them are on the threatened species list. The problem is that they get hit by cars. The road gets built between where they live in the woods in the summer and where they hibernate and where they reproduce in the shallow ponds, and they just get crushed going back and forth.
Wow.
Our turtles are really in crisis, unfortunately.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. So... And is that like kind of generally everywhere or in certain places only?
Well, it's everywhere they live. In the south, you have the desert tortoises. There's different varieties in the Mojave Desert and the Nevada Desert, et cetera. And here in the Northwest, we don't really have a whole lot of wild turtles, but we do have introduced turtles, the red sliders you mentioned, and some other varieties that people have had turned loose. There are some native turtles here, and I'm not expert enough to tell you the species name.
Yeah, I don't know either, but there are places where there are, I don't remember as a young kid, I don't remember seeing many just wild turtles. But I do have seen them now, and the recent years, like in Snohomish, I have a friend that lives on Lake, I think it's Blackman Lake in Snohomish. Or Blackman's. Anyway, their turtles live in that lake, and they would have turtles sunning on their grass all the time. I think they were red sliders, but although I didn't get one up close and personal. But little lakes like that, private lakes around the area, there are lots of them have turtles in them. And it's always, I've kind of thought, well, one of those may be my turtles, because I traded my turtles to one of my brother's friends, and I traded my turtles for his chameleons. So, I had all kinds of little things. But, those were back in the days of the Puyallup Fair. You'd go to the fair and buy a chameleon, a live one with a string around its neck and tied to a safety pin, and pin them on your shirt and go home. But they don't tell you that they're live creatures and you have to know how to take care of them and feed them. So I think most of them died, except for when I came, when I got them. Of course, I was with my mom and she allowed me to do that. But then the first thing we were done, we were out to Jack's Aquarium to find out how to take care of chameleons. And then my brother and father weren't all that wild because we had live mealworms in the refrigerator from that point on that I could feed my chameleons. And it looked like a container that might be a spread of some kind. So they were always opening it up to mealworms and getting grossed out. But that was kind of what life was like living with Martha as a kid. There was often animal food in the refrigerator, like mealworms and stuff. Gosh, that's kind of good to think about and know that there's somebody out there caring about the tortoises. And even after the passings now, I imagine that organization that cares for the turtles and tortoises continues, right?
Spun off a number of other turtle and tortoise rescues around the country. I know of one in Massachusetts. There's two others in California. For a while, there was one just north of the border in British Columbia, but it unfortunately folded some years ago. I just like to visit that one.
Well, I think that's a good positive note then for us to end on. I mean, there are people that care about the turtles and the tortoises, and there are groups all over the place. And we can honor all the wonderful folks that, dedicated a lot of their lives to animals and supporting animals and bless them on their way now that they have passed. And I sure appreciate the two of you. Everybody, it's animals24-7.org. Go to the website, make a donation if you can, and sign up for the newsletter. And we will be talking to you again the first Sunday of, yes, this is the fourth Sunday, but the first Sunday of February. So, anyway, you guys stay dry over there on Whidbey. I'm back to cloudy skies again. Maybe, oh no, I see there may be some sunshine starting to break through. So enjoy it if it comes to you guys. And thank you again, and we'll talk to you in February. God bless. Bye bye. All right, Nathan, we got to catch up with advertisers, and then we'll talk about what's going on at Ananda. So everybody stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Do you ever feel overwhelmed by all that's happening in the world? Triggered by people around you? What's going on in your personal life? Or shifting energies? Looking for inspired guidance? Need to talk? Natasha Ventner, intuitive personal awareness coach and medium, can help by sharing insights, tips, and tools to support you through life's glitches and snags. Natasha helps you empower yourself. Visit Natasha's website, intuitiveclarifications.com, to discover how her unique skills and heartfelt, caring approach can help you. That's intuitiveclarifications.com.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Find our app in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store and take us with you wherever you go. Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're winding down this week's edition of Animal World. We're here till noon, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from Natasha Venter. She's our medium communicator and psychic gal. She is here on the third Sunday of the month. To answer questions and so forth. She also does a regular podcast at 4 p.m. every Wednesday, and you can access the podcast live at the time or archived on her YouTube channel. And her YouTube channel is Natasha Venter, IC, the letters IC, for intuitive clarification. Her website is intuitiveclarifications.com. And YouTube is Natasha Venter IC for her YouTube channel. And apparently she's got thousands of stuff little snippets and so forth to help you. And her podcast, like I said, is live every Wednesday at 4 p.m. She's also available for private readings. And you can contact her through her website, intuitiveclarifications.com, or you can give her a call at 360-770-7486. 360-770-7486. And remember, our premier sound healer and Accutonix light chiropractic, Jude Ponton. You can check her out at whispering-dragon.com online, Whispering Dragon Center on Facebook. And she can work with you in person or remotely. You can give her a call if you'd like to chat about it or schedule. And she's teaching this weekend, so she'll call you back. But the number is 206-706-2836. 206-706-2836. And then, if you do something wonderful for humans, animals, or the planet we live on, come join our Animal World family of advertisers. And if you're interested, send us an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. And then just because I've been distracted, didn't have a chance to talk about them earlier, remember our NuPro supplements, N-U-P, as in Peter, R-O, supplements.com. Great supplements for dogs, cats, and ferrets. Best cat vitamins. And if you can't find the supplements in your local pet store, you can order them through NuProSupplements.com or on Amazon.com. And I just mentioned that, Nathan, because Janice from NuPro through me sent a little package for Abby on Christmas. So were you able to take that big jar of NuPro back to Abby?
Yep, I was able to get it through the TSA and bring it out to Kentucky. And it's funny because I was going to, you know, wrap it up to give it to her on the Christmas morning. And it was like Christmas Eve. I was getting all wrapped up. And like right when I pulled it out of the suitcase, she came over with big curiosity, like, ooh, what's in that thing? So yeah. She was already hyped up for it.
All right. Well, that's great. I'm glad you were able to haul it back there for sure. So anyway, check them out. NuProSupplements.com, N-U-P, as in Peter, R-O. NuProSupplements.com, all available on Amazon. All righty then. So normally at this time, we'd be chatting with somebody from Ananda. But what you need to know is tomorrow, January 5th, is Yogananda's birthday. So today is Big Master's birthday celebration at the Blue Lotus Temple in Bothell. The service was like, you know, 10 to 11:15 or so. And then there's a big happy birthday for a Master Indian banquet in the Yoga Hall, which started at 11:30. So all hands on deck at Ananda for the big birthday lunch. So that's why nobody is joining us today. But not to worry, because I know what's going on. And let's see here. Now, if you want to follow what's going on, you want to check out or register for anything, the place to go is to the Ananda website, which is anandawashington.org. AnandaWashington.org, and you will find all of this stuff here. In fact, the first thing, featured events, is Paramahansa Yogananda birthday banquet going on right now. Too late to join that. Can't do that. But It's a real interesting class. And when I was reminding myself of the details, I was thinking, oh, I might want to do this one. It's really cool. And I don't know if you know anything about the Bhagavad Gita, but it's kind of like the Indian Bible. And very much in line with the Christian Bible. And so Yogananda and Jesus are the same line of gurus, and the, you know, lessons are universal. But this class is called Bhagavad Gita, the Universal Drama. And it's going to take place on four Tuesday evenings from 6 to 8:30, January 6th, 20th, 27th, and February 3rd. It will be in person, I think, at the Blue Lotus Temple. But you can also Zoom it. And that's why I'm thinking, see, I wouldn't even have to drive. I could just Zoom this class. So let's see. It's the right action that leads to inner freedom. The beloved Bible of India was written long ago and is a time capsule for the current age. It is non-sectarian, yet deeply profound. It points to advanced meditation and the inner workings of the heart and mind of sincere, truth-seeking souls. So you can sign up, you know, through anandawashington.org. You can also call the temple. I'll give you a number for that shortly. But remember, it's four Tuesday evenings starting January 6th. There is a hatha, you know, physical yoga posture class prior. If you can do, you want, you can do that too, and that's from 6 to 6:50, and then the Bhagavad Gita class is from 7 to 8:30, and it would be at the Blue Lotus Temple or online. And, okay, so then there are all kinds of other classes and events, a lot of meditation classes, and yoga goes on throughout the month. Let's see, we got to there. Well, now, happen to me tomorrow, if you're in the Linwood area or want to go, there is a Yogananda's birthday meditation. They will be going on pretty much all day at the Hansa Temple at the Ananda community in Linwood. And because it's the 133rd anniversary of the birth of Yogananda, they start, it's a 6-hour meditation in 3 2-hour slots, beginning at 6:30 a.m. So anyway, if that type of meditation interests you, that's going on tomorrow. Let's see, we just told you about. Now, here's another great class coming up, How to Have Courage, Calmness, and Confidence. That sounds good. Led by Ananda meditation teachers Robin Mattis. You've heard her on the show a few times. Amy Heathcliff, you haven't heard Amy. It includes program material, coffee, and baked treats. It's on January 10th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Now, the biggest class of the year is coming up, and that's the Art and Science of Raja Yoga, and is all the preparatory work if you want to get into the higher yoga practices of meditation and Kriya. This is the beginning of all of that. The course begins on Thursday, February 12th. It includes over 40 hours of training and direct experience of ancient techniques of India to calm the mind and transform your life into the miracle that it is. And they're going to have a free introductory program from January 11th from 12 to 1 p.m. See if there's anything. Well, okay. No more on that. All right. That I think will take care. And what you want to do is, okay, here I got the Raja open house. And so that's January 11th from 12 to 1 p.m. That's today. And you can, so that's going to be after the banquet. And it's free. We'll be at the Blue Lotus Temple. Okay, so we're good with that. There's anything. I think that covers most of the classes that are going on. So the big one to really check out is the Art and Science of Raja Yoga. And that's what got me started. And Krista and I started with that class years and years and years ago. And it's really, really a fabulous class. So you can check all of more details out. And you can register through the Ananda website. And that would be anandawashington.org. AnandaWashington.org. And if you'd like to sign up or get more information, you can always call the Blue Lotus Temple. The number there is 425-806-3700. 425-806-3700. Probably not a good idea to call right now because they're in the middle of the luncheon. So you might want to wait. And of course you can call during the week and sign up. But that covers the bases for Ananda. And you just, if you decide to do the Bhagavad Gita class, you might see me there. Well, hey, current events announcement, Nathan. There's sunshine in Monroe.
And look what I have now. It's getting grayed up again.
Oh my gosh, you're covered with gray clouds again.
It is, and
okay, well, so you got the clouds, and you sent me your sunshine.
That's what's happening, it seems like. I'll get a little bit of it and then send it your way.
Well, but those look like, those are dark clouds over there, down there. And if that's coming my way, thinking once we wrap up the show here, I better get busy and get out there and clean up the dog yard before it gets raining.
Well, I still see rain on the forecast, at least going mainly after 2 p.m. I'm going to pull up my little app on my phone here and see what it has to say for now. And yeah, rain after 2 p.m. mainly. So just going to be cloudy for the most part until that rain gets here.
Okay, so I have a little bit of breathing space to get the yard cleaned up before the rain starts. That's good. And I've been watching out the window. My Hummers are tanking up as usual. I've gotten everything all set up for winter if it comes back. You know, I had a week of snow and colder temperatures down low 30s to high 20s. Didn't get cold enough long enough to freeze hummingbird feeders. But I am all ready. I have my one hummingbird feeder heater on my original feeder that I've always had. And I got a second one, so I have two of those in the back. And then I got one of the larger ones on my bigger flat feeder that's right outside my office here, the one I'm looking at. That one was a little big and bright that I think it kind of upset their little apple carts a little bit. So turned the light off and I'm letting it get used to it, but they're now drinking with it with the light off and fine. So I think I'll be able to turn the heat on if it comes. But I'm hoping maybe we get a little more winter that happens at some point. So I see how my new system works.
Well, I do want to let you know, if you want to get out there and do your yard work, you might want to be quick about it. It does look like you'll actually get the rain in your area a little bit sooner than us down here in the Bellevue and Seattle area.
Oh, thanks a lot.
I'm seeing 1 p.m. for you mainly after.
Okay. All right. Well, then I won't dink around. But golly, we have now officially started the new year, Nathan. And
yes, Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, Happy New Year, and lots of prayers that it is a better year, and we'll just leave it at that. We'll stay in the positive frame of mind, and love on your animals and your family, and send that love and light all around the country, around the world. We really need it right now. And then next week, second Sunday of the month, it will be our energy balancing show. And we will continue with our new protocol. Linda Rasmussen will be here. We'll take your phone calls. She's going to work on you and your animals through you. And so we'll have a new process to go through. And we'll be eager to share it with you. And we'd love for you to call in because we need some of you to work with. Because this is going to be a learning project as we go through. But I know we're all excited to do this, Linda. So looking forward to you being here next week. All righty. So we are done. And no sports to watch today that I'm aware of. You know, the Seahawks played last night. So you got the afternoon off and get out there and enjoy the sunshine for an hour or 2 hours. Nathan says maybe. Okay. So Happy New Year, everybody. Nathan, thank you so much. And as always, I leave you with animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to, open your heart, and share your love with all living things. And we'll talk to you again next week.